This is The Break on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Robin Carlin, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, well, the NFL season is coming up, and we get some controversy off the field to get into. Adam Stites from SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at @AdamStites_. Adam, thanks for taking some time today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, so let's start with this LeSean McCoy stuff. When you initially saw the pictures and you saw all the reporting going down yesterday, what did you think it means for the future of LeSean McCoy and the Buffalo Bills?
Well, you know, if any of it is true, if any of those allegations are true, it definitely it's bad news for LeSean McCoy. Could mean career-ending news for LeSean McCoy. And so, you know, it's when I first saw it, you know, the first question is did this actually happen? And now it seems as though the circumstances would seem as though LeSean McCoy has some involvement, but he definitely wasn't there personally involved in this particular attack. So, yeah, it's going to be a story that I think we're going to be talking about for a while now.
Well, his former teammate Richie Incognito took to Twitter to defend LeSean McCoy, saying that he knows the whole story with this female and that he stands by McCoy and he knows that he did not do that. Are you putting any credence in that at all?
It's kind of hard to put any credence in anything Richie Incognito says. To be honest, he's kind of undermined his own credibility many, many times now, especially this offseason. You know, he's says something and then says the complete opposite, you know, a day later. So I wouldn't listen much to what Richie Incognito has to say. I don't put much stock in his opinions.
We're chatting with Adam Stites from SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter. It's @AdamStites_. All right, Adam, transitioning to another team in the AFC East, the New England Patriots. There was a report yesterday from the Boston Sports Journal that an AFC executive said that they still think that Rob Gronkowski is on the trading block because he hasn't been given a new contract yet. Do you still think the Patriots have Rob Gronkowski on the trading block like they did way back during the draft?
I think they'll probably have him available if a team blows them away with an offer. And I just don't think they'll get it. You know, he's a guy that's really struggled a lot with injuries. He's not exactly young at this point. He's been talking retirement. I would be surprised if they got the kind of offer that makes them want to ship him off. And people have talked about him not getting a new contract, but he's under contract for two more years and then isn't a free agent until 2020. So it's not like the Patriots really need to get rid of him now so they can still get compensation for him. They can wait until he's, you know, 31 before they let him hit the free agent market if they choose to do so.
Adam, how bad do you think this situation is in New England? Because, of course, we had him and Tom Brady not going to any of the voluntary training camps. We know all the drama with Tom Brady's trainer, Alex Guerrero, and Bill Belichick. He was, of course, kicked off the team plan last year. How bad do you think this situation is between Brady, Belichick, and I guess Gronkowski, who's in the Brady camp?
I think it's probably exaggerated a little bit. People look for you know, a chink in the armor kind of situation. But at the end of the day, as long as Tom Brady is still playing like Tom Brady, the Patriots are still going to be good. And whether there's discord or not, you know, we were talking about this last November, December, whether or not there was you know, unrest in New England, and then they, you know, put it together and win a Super Bowl. So, you know, I don't really put a whole lot of stock in there being much friction. And if there is, it hasn't seemed to stop them. I think what's going to end up stopping them is whenever Brady's play drops off.
Well, Adam, another team with some drama, are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their situation with quarterback Jameis Winston, they've recently been linked to a potential trade for Nick Foles. Is it time to give up / move on from Winston?
It might be. I think they're going to probably want to see what they got. He's kind of frustrating in that he'll show everything he's capable of and then trip over his feet on the very next play. So it's difficult to give up on him just because you would think at some point in time grow into his skill set. But his off-field issues exacerbate that. And so I don't think they're going to move on in a way as significant as somebody like Nick Foles. But maybe they bring in, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, something like that. And even if they do bring in Nick Foles, I don't know that means your quarterback position is fixed. So I think he's still going to get another shot, but this is probably the last year he has to really show what he can do.
Adam Stites from SB Nation is with us here on The Break on SB Nation Radio. You can follow him on Twitter. It's at Adam Stites. All right, Adam, the Seattle Seahawks, of course, that's in a team that's in a very different position than they were a couple of years ago. And Bobby Wagner came out recently and said he supports the fact that Earl Thomas is not showing up to the mini camps and whatnot. Do you expect that Seattle's going to pull the trigger at some point on Earl Thomas and that he's going to be traded?
Probably not. I think they've already had so much turnover on defense that if they can avoid any more, if they were going to trade him, I think the time to do it would have been in April, or when the draft, they had an offer from the Cowboys, they turned it down. I can't imagine them getting a bigger offer, and I don't think they want to turn to what's left on the depth chart after, you know, they already lost Cam Chancellor. They really don't have a whole lot of other defensive backfield talent to throw in there. So I think they'll probably just wait for him to show up. I think he eventually will. And I would bet that this is his last year in Seattle, but I think he does make it to the season.
Adam, what do you make of this whole situation with Andrew Luck and the Colts? Allegedly, he should be ready by training camp later this month and throwing a regulation-sized football. What is your level of concern with his health and how much time he's missed?
Yeah, it's tough not to be at least a little concerned. He was back to throwing last year, and then a setback happened, and it all came down. So it seems like they're being very cautious. There hasn't been much reason to be concerned with the progress this time around. It's just the history that makes you concerned. I think he's probably going to be okay. It seems like they're really doing a good job with it this time, and they're really taking their time with it. He looks like he's in great shape. But until a guy, a 300-pound guy, is coming at him, you really don't know how that arm is going to look until he gets tackled. So there is a level of concern for sure, but cautiously optimistic is probably the best way to be if you're a Colts fan.
Adam Stites from SB Nation is with us here on The Break. You can follow him on Twitter. It's at @AdamStites_. Adam, an interesting story yesterday. David Tepper, the new owner of the Carolina Panthers, basically said that he was forced to keep the Jerry Richardson statue outside of the building there at Bank of America Stadium. And it's interesting because Jerry Richardson, of course, was just fined $2 million from the NFL and basically forced to resign or sell his team because of allegations that sexual harassment allegations, there were some racial comments that he made. Were you surprised that he needed to keep this statue and the fact that he revealed that?
Yeah, it is very weird. I'm not sure how Jerry Richardson had the leverage to make a demand like
right.
that. So, yeah, it's very weird. It's weird that like you said, Tepper brought it up. I don't know. It's definitely surprising news to me. I don't know if that's a part of the contract that can just stay in forever. But it seems like at some point in time that they'd probably want to take that down. A very weird situation.
All right, give me a reason why the LA Rams will not be playing in the NFC Championship.
Injuries happen. I think that's probably the biggest one, maybe. They kind of have an older defense now after they got Aqib Talib, you know, and Ndamukong Suh. A lot of these players that are great additions to the defense are not young, and sometimes when you have younger, older players, it can kind of go south in a hurry. But, like you said, I mean, it's hard to find a weakness on this team. The offense is explosive, and now the defense looks like a very legit all the way across the board. So, yeah, I mean, injuries can always decimate a team, but it looks like a really freaking good roster.
A couple more minutes with Adam Stites from SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter, at @AdamStites_. All right, Adam, Julio Jones, of course, he's been missing everything for the Falcons this offseason. He's been working out with Terrell Owens. He's looking for a new contract. Do you think, ultimately, remember they just gave Matt Ryan a new deal, that before the season starts that Julio Jones has himself a new contract, although he still has, what, like 3 years left in his current deal?
Yeah, that's why I think he probably doesn't. I don't think he's hurting anybody by missing OTAs or even part of training camp. It's Julio Jones. He'll show up. He'll still be great. I don't think there needs to be much hand-wringing about it. But if he really thinks he's going to get a new contract, I think he's being really optimistic. He's still, I think, the 10th highest-paid receiver or somewhere around there. So it's not like he's a guy stuck on his rookie deal. He's getting paid pretty well. He probably just wants to add a few years to it, and I think that's probably not going to happen. The Falcons just gave out a huge contract to Matt Ryan, so I don't think they want to do a whole lot else this offseason. I think that he probably has to wait for another offseason for that.
Got about a minute left to work with here, and while it's a little early to be making any proclamations since we hadn't even had training camp, give me your initial thoughts on the rookie quarterbacks and which ones could be starting week one.
Week one is going to be tough for all of them. I don't think Baker Mayfield starts for a while, if at all, as a rookie. The one who might be able to start earliest is Josh Allen, just because there's not a whole lot of competition for him in Buffalo. But if you asked me in April which quarterback I'd draft to start right away, he'd probably be my last pick. So I don't know that that's a good choice. Sam Darnold might have a shot in New York, but I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of rookie quarterbacks this year. I would love to see Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. I think that would be fun to see him, how they could throw him into action. But I think for it's going to be a while before we are able to really judge this class.
All right, that's Adam Stites from SB Nation. Make sure to follow him on Twitter. It's @AdamStites_. Adam, thanks so much for the time today, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how many start. I would start them all. That's just my theory. I mean, rip the Band-Aid off and let them start.
Especially Josh Rosen.
Yeah, drafted him in the first round. Might as well play him. I mean, what's the point of waiting? None of these teams are that good. All the teams are going to. The Jets stink. The Bills stink. Arizona's not very good. The Browns aren't very good. So why don't you just let these guys start? I never understand why we got to make sure that the stand-in, the bridge quarterback, gets his playing time. I don't really care about the bridge. I want the kid to get out there and play. What good did it do for the Bears last year for playing Mike Glennon?
Like the situation with Deshaun Watson where he didn't start the game, but by halftime it was his job.
Yeah, so why didn't he just win the job? I never understood.
Well, according to Bill O'Brien, his offense is a little too complex for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, well, then alter your offense to help the rookie quarterback. Like, I didn't need to see Tom Savage out there. Didn't make any sense whatsoever. All right, before we leave, coming up next, an interesting comment about LeBron James and what he wanted this time in free agency. We'll get to it next on SB Nation.